Today my grandma's coming, and yesterday was her birthday.
And just prayers for a complicated free delivery for Gina, hopefully in the next week.
We've prayed for this family before, but this is Alexandra Mink, who is the granddaughter of one of the administrators that I worked with that I really respect. She has a rare form of brain malignancy, and this is her fourth separate popping up of this nasty tumor.
Said thank you. This week I have a test for citizens. I go there, I pass. Now we want to thank you, Jesus.
I have another joy in Thanksgiving. My niece Rebecca was pronounced 100% engraftment for the bone marrow transplant, and the leukemia is in full remission. So thank you for all your prayers. They'll be monitoring closely for the next 2 years, but all is good so far, so thank you.
I just wanted to thank everyone for their continued and very long prayers and support that they have given me regarding my health. I got a very good report from a specialist this week, so I'm still in the water, but I'm swimming on top, thanks to all your help.
I would just like to ask prayer. I have 1 month left until I run the New York City Marathon, so my legs are getting tired and training's getting tougher, but I just ask continued prayer for good health, that training goes well, and of course, success on Marathon Day, so thank you.
I asked you all for prayers for my mom and grandma last week, who just moved out to California after years on the East Coast, and now I ask for prayers for my grandma's health. This past week, she found out she's been very weak and tired, and she found out that she's severely anemic and is having trouble even getting out of bed. And so they're concerned that some colon cancer that she had before has come back. So I ask for prayers for her.
It is definitely a joy to welcome Medhat and Stacy and Sebastian here to Rhode Island, and we'd love your prayers and any leads and Rhode Island connections you can give us to housing for them as they search for housing here, but certainly prayers for their transition from Minnesota to being with us full-time here in the middle of November. Let us pray. God of all life, creator of the world, you call us to be your disciples, emboldened by your grace, strengthened by your spirit, engaged to a world seeking peace and justice. This is your world, O Lord, and we remember that this World Communion Sunday. We pray for it even as we would work and live into new tomorrows in our own lives. We give thanks for your blessings in transition and pray for all those in the midst of challenging in-between times. May they seek and find you always. We lift to you this day the needs that we know of for healing, for Walter, for Melinda, for Shirley in surgery this week, for Tim, for Junior, for Edith, for Alexandra, for Anne's grandmother. We pray, O Lord, for families that have faced so much sudden loss in these days. Particularly, we lift up Mary and her family in this surprising death of Wesley, for Douglas Moore's family, for the Sharp family. We know, O Lord, that you move and minister in the midst of all times and places, and we pray your strength for these families in these days of grief. We pray, O Lord, for all those who wait for new life to emerge, for no complications for the Bay family, and in thanksgiving for Gina's mother, Grandma, coming here to be of support in these days. For Medhat and his family in their transition, for those who are unemployed or underemployed seeking your way and your will in these days, for strength and training for Heidi as she runs in honor of her grandfather. In all the rhythms of life, O God, you are with us and with your people. And we give you thanks as we celebrate the joys and blessings of our lives here, for the gifts of this community shared so freely. We give thanks for Colin Alexa's presence with us, with the Bernier family, with all of the blessings of surrounding them in this joyous time as they adapt to life with three children. We give thanks for Denise passing her citizenship test and for her presence here in this community as she draws ever closer here. For the amazing good news of Rebecca's healing and full remission from cancer, from leukemia. For Terry in the miracle of good news there as well. On this day of World Communion, we pray for our world, for places of strife and tumult, of disaster, war, and recovery. We pray for new life. May your peace and justice weave that life and hope into a hurting world, that all may be sustained and empowered to bear witness to a different way of cooperation and new life for all. Through your power, we pray, as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The children that aren't already up here are invited to join us for your first children's message from Pastor Medhat. I'm glad to introduce him to you.
First of all, practice the most difficult thing is about my name. So we have to learn how to say my name. So my name is Medhat. Medhat. Yep, that's perfect. Because it's my name, we're all different, okay? Different names, different things. And today I'm going to teach you about where I came from, okay? And I'm going to show you some pictures, very nice pictures. But first, before we see these pictures, you have to tell me what's your best animal. What's your favorite animal, okay? Will you say your name first? Ben, okay, Ben. What's your favorite animal? Okay. Okay, baby dolphin. That sounds cute. Okay. Your name first. Okay, Andrew. Do I need to help you? So give you a chance. Okay, snow leopard, okay. And you, what's your name? Sam. Sam, okay, what's your favorite animal? Giraffe. Giraffe, wow, big one, long one, okay. And you? Okay, what's your name first? Eliza, and your favorite one, zebra? Very colorful animal, huh?
Leah.
Leah, okay.
Giraffe, flamingo, dolphin.
Ooh, okay. You like cats? Okay, I love cats too. I have two cats. Okay. And what's your name? Lucy. Okay. Okay, here's the pictures I'm going to show you. And you tell me the name of the animal you see here, okay? You see this one? It's a camel. And if you see behind the camel, there's a pyramid. That's where I came from, okay? Came from far, far away, a country by name Egypt, okay? So, I'm going to teach you about this animal. I grew up with this animal here, and this is a very important animal for us, not only because it's cute, not because it's big, but because actually we use it as a transportation. So, I live in a small area where we didn't have vehicles yet or cars, so people actually transport people and goods through the camels. And what happened is one day they will feel really tired and they carry many things on their back. And the owner, the good owner, when we have a good owner, will ask for a break and will ask the camel to come down. You know, camel is a very big animal, so they will tell them a secret word, which is in Arabic and Hebrew to Yabruk or Baraka, which is very the same word like blessing. And they will ask them to come down, and then the owner will take the heavy load out of them and feed them and give them a break. And today we are going to talk about Jesus Christ is giving us a blessing. So every time we hear the word blessing from Pastor Chris or me or anybody, think about time maybe to take a nap, or a time to have a good meal, or a time to say, like, let's relax and have a good time. Or have a good time to play with other people too. So a word blessing today, Jesus saw people was really, they were sad and tired and sick and worried about tomorrow, and nobody cared about them. And he saw them as a very worried people. And he said, blessing to you. So take a nap, enjoy your time. You're still on a weekend, you're not in a school yet, so enjoy your time. And today we're going to pray and ask him for blessing for us and for the whole world. Okay? Let's pray. We thank you, God, for this blessing you promised us in Jesus Christ. We thank you because you loved every animal and every creature on the universe. We thank you because you care about us. You give us a family. You give us a place to live in. You give us a meal to eat. And we thank you for the bed we have in the house where we can take a nap and feel calm and peaceful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children may go down to your classes and take a good look at Colin on the way down.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, everybody, and I'm very happy to be here with you, and thank you for the honor of inviting me to be with you, accompany you in the new journey, a new chapter of our history for me and my family and for all our history as a church here. And today, I'd like to share this sermon with you because I feel has a lot of miscultural understanding sometimes, and it's closer to the tradition I grew up with. And here's the question, is as a person living between two worlds, in the East and the West, every time I go home, they say, "Do you like United States? What's good there? What do you like, the culture?" And when I come here, people say, "Do you like it here or there more?" And I always find this is a very difficult question to respond. But I found one thing. These people grew up in a community where people can't really have a sense of individualism. And we are here, live that very freely, and we enjoy that very much. It's good to think about a community very connected. Everybody knows everybody, knows what happened to your family. Everybody can tell you a history for hundreds of years about everybody. And that's the kind of community I grew up in. But the difficult part is also you always judge it by the criteria of the community. So you didn't have even the struggle. Your personal struggle is not only belonging to you, but it's your personal struggling belongs to the community. So if you have a disease, it's not only your personal or your family problem, dealing with the grief or the loss or whatever happened, but it's actually dealing with how are you going to respond to the community? How are we going to deal with the community? And these people were really stripped down into everything. Money, they didn't have money, they didn't have land, they didn't have anything almost. And even the worst, they didn't have the dignity because the community gave them an explanation of, here is the answer for whatever happened in your life. You are sick, because something happened in your life. You did a bad things in your life. You are not rich because you are missing the blessing of God. You are not the son of Abraham or Isaac or Joseph, and all these ancient stories about the blessing is equal to the word of getting really rich and well established, and everything is fine in your life. And Jesus was really fighting for these people and was trying to help them to stand up, not because of the power of the community, but because of the power of the Spirit inside us. And my sermon today is about the happiness and how to find the happiness. Is it within us or within the community? Happiness is the greatest desire of the human being. And we can spend days and read books and spend years even try to find, define the word in, during the history and in our own life. The whole world hangers for it, and it's awful to see some people seeking happiness sometimes in the wrong way. Most of us are seeking happiness in the wrong way that sometimes will produce misery. Sometimes we are leaning toward avoiding our difficulties, which could make us feel happy for a short time. But in the end, it will add to our problems. So we are just putting a bandage in a big wound and ignoring the reality. Is Jesus really asking us to deal with our problem with a closed eye or just pretend it's not there? Or Jesus is a fan of reality which we could really sink in the very dark side of the reality we are living in? Both sides are difficult to stick with. But Jesus is giving us a new way. We are living today in a very high season of campaigning to get more voters and to get people behind you. And let's go with Jesus and follow and see what kind of campaign he's fighting for and what kind of voters Jesus is seeking to get their attention and their vote. Jesus wanted to explain to his followers the true path to happiness. It's about truth, and it's about hope. It's about touching reality and putting your foot on the ground, but in the same time, your eyes and your hand reaching out to the heaven and looking, that's not it, being on earth, but there is hope. There is a way out of that. He showed them a new way to live a new life through the Sermon on the Mount. And today we are going to talk about some of the Beatitudes. I'm not going to talk about this wonderful 8 Beatitudes, but I'm going to speak only about the first 4. To determine what kind of person Jesus wants us to be and how truly to find purity in a world of sorrow and confusion and also hate. Go back to the time of Jesus Christ when Jesus was preaching to this crowd. There are many facts I want you to remember and be aware of, and what we call it, the context of the sermon. At this time, this country was called Palestine, was filled with many problems. The first problem, the country was occupied by a dictatorial military government, which is famous when we know it all, it's the Roman Empire. The people were treated as oppositions by the Romans. Workers paid 1/3 of their income in taxes. Racial prejudice was very common. Are you Jews, Samaritan, Arabs, whatever is there? So this was very common and accepted. And if you're holding the Roman citizenship, you're holding a lot of power and protection. And not to forget, slavery was a very common and widespread thing too. And in response to all this problem in this Israel-Palestine community, here is what a few groups respond to these problems. Many answers was given by different sects of Jews. The first group called the Zealots. We can call them today by our modern term. Maybe they are the terrorists of our day today. And here is their title. Do not worry about your inner life, your inner peace. Just well-established, develop your muscles, build an army, and your only hope is military might. And this was favored by some people. And even some of Christ's followers, the closest one, Judith, we think he was a believer or he close to this group, believing in redeeming the Jewish kingdom by the power, the physical power. And the second group is the Sadducees. And they said, survive by promise, by compromise. Make personal gain and the best bargain you can negotiate. Nothing about ethics. Whatever you can gain, whatever you can take, you just do it. You can change your statement, you can change where you stand or what you believe as much as you can gain. That's what their philosophy. Very pragmatic group. And the third group, the Pharisees. And they were the ones who were burdening people by explaining the Ten Commandments of what God gave to Moses. And here's what they said. Live a clean and pure life. As far as you follow our book, as far as you follow our orders, you are fine. You will be fine. God will take care of you. And all these responses weren't really enough for people. The whole region was occupied, as I said, by the Roman Empire. And I want you to think about, have you ever thought about living under occupation? And I know most of us, we are not that old to remember when United States was a British colony or French colony or whatever. So I'm glad we hear about it, we read about it. But we really didn't have the sense of living under occupation. Living under a system will say clearly and with no fear, you are a second or third or even tenth citizen in this country. I will tell you something. I got some of that under Mubarak regime. As I said, I'm from Egypt. 95% of my life, I lived under Mubarak regime. And here's what you feel. You lose your dignity. You do not expect to be treated with respect. The abnormal became the normal. And the worst one, under occupation or a dictatorial regime, you feel a stranger at home. You are valued by how much you have. Is it money, land, servant, houses, relationship with politicians or religious leader or police? And nothing about for what you are. And in the middle of this unfair, unjust, in this dark scene, we see a wonderful poor Galilean carpenter is coming out, climbing the mountain, telling us about there is a hope, there is a light. Here is my light and here is my salt for you, world. To let them know that he can feel and understand their hopes, fears, and confusion. And I love what I heard today when we shared the joys and the concern, because this is close to the reality. We live in a world not only about joy and not only about concern, not only about the dark side or the good side. We live in a world with mixed with both. And the way we shared our stories, it showed how we are more in touch with the reality. When we see one member in our church struggle and suffering, and we see the other members is rejoicing. And in all this, we all connected. The Sermon on the Mount is one of the most famous teaching of Jesus Christ. Not because it's fancy, not because it was new, but because really it's challenging people. The closer you come to Jesus Christ, is the more challenged you are. Your closeness is not by history, is not by how intelligent you are, it's not by all these wonderful gifts around you, but how much committed to this wonderful rules. And we see Jesus is bringing all these. I belong to you as a Jew. I am not the outsider. I am part of this community. And we have in Arabic a wonderful common statement about nobody can shake a tree unless you are a branch of it. You cannot shake a tree. You can blow a wind, you can try, but you are the outsider. You are a threat to people, to a community. You as a Presbyterian, maybe you will see if there is somebody bringing a new vision, but he's not a Presbyterian, or he don't belong to the community. We already see them as a threat. And we see ourselves a lot as a threat because of our differences. Jesus seemed very different. But at the same time, he said, I belong to you. Abraham is my father. And Matthew did a wonderful job when in the first chapter, he was trying to say, Jesus was born here. Jesus belonged to this community. Jesus is part of this religion. And Matthew was trying to say, hey, he's not a threat to you. He belonged to us. Yes, he's challenging us. Not every challenge carrying bad things, but every challenge could really take us to a new reality. And running through these beatitudes very fast. The first beatitude is about the poor. And many people will be offended because I preach about the poor a lot and think this Jesus was really pious and not speaking about the rich. I think it's not about the fight between the poor and the rich. I think it's the fight about the people who could not pick themselves. And the people lost the self-esteem and they lost their inner peace. Poverty was a common for many people in this community. And Palestine, as I said, was under this occupation, a foreign power. Jesus saying you are in the interest, in the center of the interest of God. Even you are powerless in the eyes of others. You are worthy. And you are so precious to me. That's the very clear message he's telling to you. Everybody's ignoring you because you don't have nothing on the surface attracting people to you. But I know the reality inside your heart. And I welcome you. And the second beatitude is about the mourners and about people who just really losing one thing after another. And the worst part of this group is really they lost even the right to express their sadness. Because when they do that, they bother their majority. They bring a very bad reality to others. We don't want to think about there is disease, there is sadness, there is loss. Let us enjoy our life. Let us move on and ignore the hard part. But Jesus say, you have the right to grieve and to express your feeling. If you start to open your mouth, the government will consider you are a potential rebel or a threat to the system, and maybe in a modern time you will be a terrorist. And if you start to open your mouth and talk about your God is not in your life and God is not really engaged in your life, here is the very fast explanation of God, of the religious leaders to you. You have this because there are some sins in your life. And even if you digged in and you didn't find one, maybe your parents did some sins and that's why. So just imagine the whole burden even not being able to shout out and express your grief and your really sadness. Most of them choose to keep their sadness inside their hearts to avoid the extra pain that came from the community. And as I mentioned in the beginning, the community is a wonderful thing, and we talk about that. We want to be a community. But extremely to the community I'm talking about in the Middle East, which is still survive, it's a community where really there is no sense of people even to practice their own need in a personal way or even as a small family. And the fourth, the third beatitude, sorry, is blessed are the meek and the humble. And we refer to those who are living under oppression on a daily basis. The Roman Empire was known to be a powerful and brutal regime. And at the same time, it rewards those who stayed loyal to Rome and not to their own community. And today we are going to talk about how we could really help these humble people, the people who are sitting in the darkness. We can bless the humble by bringing justice to oppressed people through our daily activities. Like when we shop, we can buy products that are committed to fair trade. And telling others about those workers and where these products came from. Put a face on every product. Put a face on every company. Buy and live our daily life with a Christian conscience. The fourth beatitude is, blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. This group is not just poor, they are the worst. They are struggling to have bread, which is only nutrition the poor can get. And I know we have a culture different culture understanding when we think about the bread here. As far as I lived in USA, bread is something on the table. But for us still in the Middle East, bread is the essential piece on the table. And you call people poor when they cannot have the bread. People eat the bread, the poorest one. It's very cheap and it's easy to have the bread. So when Jesus say, I'm the bread of life, Jesus referring, he's the essential. He's not just one of the ingredients on the table. According to historical facts, the region, the Middle East, was the basket of wheat for Rome. Can you imagine living in a land that is so rich with food, yet there is no food for you? Here God's promise to intervene to protect them by asking us to remember his promise to take care of them. If you are a true follower to me, do not just form a circle. Do not keep me away, but just help me to shine through you to others. So God support through us in a different ways. The Beatitudes are not an entry level pass to get to the heaven. They are an invitation to examine ourselves on a daily basis. It is helpful to think of this principle as a necklace that people can see and experience when they see us. They are not separate beads. They are different beads in one necklace, and that's what forms our identity as a Christian. And here is my last words I want to leave with you. I want to think and challenge with me about an image of Jesus Christ. If you want to draw an image of Jesus Christ today, what kind of image you want to leave? Does our Jesus stand between us and others as a bridge or as a wall? Do you see Jesus putting his hands up to keep us apart because we are in a fight and we cannot get along, so at least everybody stay away? Or do we see Jesus opening his hands and hold us together and knows we are different, but we still can work together and we still can act and walk together? You cannot afford to be separate or to neglect each other anymore. That's what Jesus is telling us today. And here is the kind of faith, regardless if you are Presbyterian, whatever denomination, here's the kind of faith I am interested in. Is our faith helping others to grow or to die? Is our faith helping others to experience justice or injustice? Is our faith helping us to give or to take? Is our faith spreading love or hate? Is our faith helping others to free or to be slave? We are called to act and teach these beatitudes to those who are lost. And the beatitudes teach us that we are different from the world around us. We are different in what we respect poor in spirit. We are different in what we seek the righteousness. We are different in what we do. And we are different in how we find happiness. And as Barton Hill said, happiness is not a destination. It's a method of life. Amen. This is the joyful feast of the children of God. All who seek to earnestly follow Christ are invited to partake of this communion. People will come from east and west, and north and south, to sit at the table with the Lord our God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table with his disciple, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ as we join together here.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we praise you for your Son Jesus, who shared our weakness and was tempted in every way as we are. He came to earth that we and all people might be saved and set free to live in your Spirit that day and for all time, to bring justice, to bring love, to bring hope and power. Now we pray, O Lord, that you would give us your Spirit in the breaking of this bread and the sharing of this cup, that by your power we may be drawn together and made one with Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Take these common elements that they might be set aside for your holy and Spirit-filled purpose in the coming to this table. In Christ and through Christ we pray. Amen.
Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break the bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all people and nations. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread and, after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Remembering me."
Thank you.
take and eat the bread of life broken for you.
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of our Lord until he shall come again." Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Cut off from me, you can do nothing."
Prayer of thanksgiving. We give you thanks, eternal God, that you have fed us in this sacrament. Fill us with the vision of your new creation, where all may have life and have it abundantly. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen.
Each World Communion Sunday, we dedicate our peacemaking offering, which is part of the Presbyterian peace emphasis and also a local opportunity for us to respond in ways that foster peace in our community. We are pleased this year for the local portion to partner with Mount Hope Learning Center, which we've been partnering with for about a year now, and to have its executive director, Elizabeth Winangrung, with us this morning to share a few words about that ministry.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Winangrung. I'm the director of Mount Hope Learning Center, and I thank you all for welcoming me here this morning. We really appreciate you making the peacemaking offering to the Learning Center. I just want to tell you a little bit about what we do. We are only about a couple of blocks away from here on Cypress Street. Our mission is to serve the educational needs of the Mount Hope community, and we do so by offering various programs, both formal and informal. Our biggest program is at Martin Luther King Elementary School. We serve about 90 students every day after school from 3 to 6. And we've been facilitating that program for about 9 years now. That's kind of our flagship program. We also have a computer lab at the Learning Center that's open to the community all the time. We provide quite a bit of support around access to jobs and educational opportunities. Your peacemaking offering today is going to go to directly support our young women's group. We have a young women's group that meets every Friday night at the Learning Center, and they focus most of their energy on providing service in Mount Hope, and they also receive a fair amount of professional development themselves. One of the keys to this group in getting these 15 or 16, 16 and 17-year-old girls to come is providing dinner. Which is one of our biggest challenges. But like this past Friday night, we made baked chicken and roasted potatoes and whatnot. And the minute the girls walk in, they're very, very happy to be there. And so that program really needs your support so that we can provide food and keep the girls coming on Friday nights so that they can continue to serve Mount Hope. Over the next couple of Saturdays, you might see them right in front of King. There's a blank wall in front of Martin Luther King Elementary School, and they'll be doing a peace mural on that wall. And we'll be inviting the community to join us to paint that mural. Probably within 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to start doing the outline next weekend. So if anybody here would like to join us, I'll make sure I get the information to Pastor Chris, and you're welcome to pitch in if you'd like. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
We are a community who have been richly blessed with God's blessings upon us and into the world. Let us with joy offer our gifts.
Atum be what he says, and no nyans are come. Atum be what he says, and no nyans are come. Atum na mitiate, emuna meke kame home. Emuna mi ye ma dinina. Atum be what he says, and no nyans are come. I don't be what you says, and no na mesa ka. I don't na metiasie, emuna meke kame home,
Emuna mi yemadinina. Adom, adom, adom biayenya. Adom na metiasi. Emuna me kekamihu. Emuna mi yemadinina. Ayam para adom. Adom, adom biamenya. Adom. Yasi emuna meke kameho emuna mi yemadinina. I don't be what you say, enuna mensaka. I don't be what you say, enuna mensaka. Adom na meti yasi emuna meke kameho. Emuna mi yemadinina. Adom, adom, adom biyamenya. Adom na metiasi. Emuna meke kameho. Emuna mi yemadinina.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty Father, we ask that you bless these gifts and use them according to your divine will to strengthen our congregation, our community, and your people everywhere. We dedicate our peacemaking offering this day. Show us the way to be peacemakers that we may be called children of God. And may the peace and love of Christ our Savior reach all the ends of the earth. Amen.
Our closing hymn is led by the worship band, One Book.